Welcome to the Science Slot Machine.
Brought to you by students of the Science, Technology, and Society Master's Program at the University of Vienna. In this podcast, we explore topics from the very notable to the very niche.
We always keep an eye on how science, technology, and society relate to one another in various aspects. We discuss hot topics, but also suggestions by you.
Check us out on social media and be sure to send us your topic suggestions to science.machine@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the Science Slot Machine again. My name is Costa and I'm here with my beautiful co-host Harry. Hi Harry, quick hello.
Hey man, glad to be here.
And Robbie, hey.
Hello, hi.
Good to hear your voice. So we are here.
Good to hear you both as well. And I'm going to stop interrupting you right now.
Okay, thank you. That's kind. So we're here in this episode between Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, actually. And we decided to discuss 2020, this very year, and all that has happened. And why are we doing this? We don't really know. We just wanted to come again to discuss something and have a little drink while doing it. So we're having like, what are you guys having actually? Harry, do you have a drink?
Yes, man. I have a beer. I'm simple. I didn't really want it, but I figured you guys would be drinking, which clearly I'm right. You guys are both drinking and have clearly had more drinks than I have, so I figured I would grab a beer from the cellar.
That's cool. So. And Robbie, you're also drinking, right? Something.
Yes, I'm having a glass of wine, red wine, because it's winter, and I think it kind of gives this super cozy vibe.
Perfect.
Yeah. It also helps me calm my nerves, because...
Because you have to talk to us.
Not only because the internet of me and Costa is so bad that we just... Guys, we're recording this for, I don't know, fifth time now?
Yes.
Yeah, we could have recorded a whole nother episode with our prep time.
Yeah, but we will still try. And right now it seems to be working, actually. Yeah, so I'm also having a beer, like Harry, a simple man, simple guy. But a Weissbier, a Weizenbier, because I'm from Bavaria. Nice. Yeah, you know, stick to what you are. Don't pretend to be something else.
Yes, I'm going to interrupt, although I promised I wouldn't do that, but something came on my mind. Today we're discussing 2020 as a year. We are kind of making a recap. So what do you guys think is the drink that you can describe 2020 with?
Your own piss.
Turn off the lights.
Oh my God.
Ah, come on, Harry. That is too much, huh?
Hey, man. Like, there's been people that have stayed alive by drinking their own pee because it's mostly water. So, I mean, it's got everything you need, but it's just the worst of what you need, you know? Like, we're talking and we're still here, but, I mean, it'll keep you alive.
I see.
Nice metaphor.
Yeah, really nice metaphor. Philosopher.
Maybe like red wine with salt in it would be like the drink of 2020. Like, it looks, you know, you're so excited for it, and then you're like, take a sip and you're like, you just can't drink it. Like, salt in red wine, no, can't.
Again, a nice metaphor.
Yeah, but do you think that 2020 really was that bad? Yes, of course, there were plenty of events that were considered very bad by most of the people, but I think we should see, you know, the beauty in it by, I don't know, appreciating the small stuff.
Yeah, no.
The beauty of a pandemic. You write a book about it, Robbie, go.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, for me individually, there were some great moments. I think everybody individually, well, a lot of people probably have some great moments. Hey, we started this podcast in 2020,
exactly.
Guys.
Exactly. How bad can it be?
Only a couple hundred thousand dead. It's not so bad.
No, it's true. But again, I think you're making a fair point here. It has been a tough year for a lot of people. But yeah, individually, somehow we survived it. And we're almost at the end, right?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Amen. Yeah, bro. Life goes on. Life goes on. If there's anything I learned as a historian, it's that, man, tomorrow happens, you know? Tomorrow happens, yesterday already happened, so you can't do anything about yesterday, and then there's a high probability that we'll wake up and tomorrow we'll be here, so fuck.
Exactly. Like, exactly.
It keeps rolling.
Robbie, what would be the drink for you, the drink of the year, to describe this year?
I would simply describe it as tea, because I spend so much time at home and I drink just enormous amount of tea. So that makes me even a more simple man than Harry, I guess.
Very, very calm. Very zen. Yeah. No, the simple man don't have time for tea, unless he's British. But the simple man don't have time for tea.
Yeah.
Simple man drinks a coffee on the way to work.
That's right. That's right.
All right, let's go back on the topic. What would you say are like the most memorable thing about 2020, except the obvious?
Yes,
COVID.
let's come back to COVID at the end, but maybe we can do like a little recap.
Yeah, sure. I mean, how did the year start? How did it start? 2020.
The same way as this one's going to start, almost. I mean, like, yeah, I know. I just said we're not going to talk about COVID, but I promise this is small. 2020, from my recollection, 2020 started and we didn't know anything about really COVID. It's like some early murmurs, but it really wasn't on the European or the Western radar yet. So 2020 started with a lot of promise. It's got a nice name to it, 2020, new decade.
Roaring 20s, huh?
So the roaring 20s coming back. That's all I can really remember about it, though. Like, I mean, I was visiting... I guess we were finishing exams and everything. It feels like so long ago, finishing the semester up when we came back to school in January, and then I took a vacation. But man, it just feels really long ago. Yeah. How did it start? Who remembers better than I?
You know, I actually can relate to something you said, indeed, that it started just like every other year starts. And I would say it started with the celebration and with the new year resolutions that people have, a new year, new me. And just like any other year, it was full of surprises. But in terms of memorable events, I think in January, the bushfires in Australia happened. Mm-hmm. Or was it later in
the
year?
No, I think you're right. It was about that time of the year. Yeah.
I think so too, because it happened. I know that it happened in the Australian summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Australian early fall. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. Like, a lot of animals actually died, like really many, and also like beautiful landscapes were destroyed, because I have been to Australia, and yeah, it's a beautiful country with a lot of nature sites which you can only see there, and yeah, that was disastrous. Mm-hmm. The bushfires, disastrous. And in California this happened too, right? Not in January, but also, right?
Yeah, there was lots of fires that happened in California in January and the early parts of 2020 and late parts of 2019 as well. It seems like every year California is on fire, but the Australian one was something that I've never really seen. You know, like to have whole places just wiped out. I mean, this happened in California as well, but I think the worldwide coverage of the fires in Australia and the decimation, just there's nothing really to compare that to. You know, it was like the entire country for the most part was on fire. And for listeners, like, Australia is not like a small country, it is huge. So for Australia to be on fire, it's not such a stretch to say it's almost all of Europe being, it's the equivalent of almost all of Europe being on fire.
Yeah, it's really huge.
It's very crazy.
Yeah. What else happened? Like what happened in 2020? Can you remember any stuff that happened?
I remember some political stuff, some assassinations, some big explosions, crisis there, crisis here, crisis everywhere. They launched some new shit to space. SpaceX.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was crazy, man. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yes, and of course, it's always like the politics come into play when you talk about any year. And now we had Black Lives Matter movement, and there was also a lot of, like, it went so viral. It literally went in every country. It was so powerful. the whole message that was passed on.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful, I think. And people did that regardless of all the COVID restrictions and stuff like that. So,
yeah, that's right. The people that went out on the streets, they actually, I think they are also connected to the, like, to the measurements. They also follow the measurements, like they wore masks and they know about this COVID thing, how dangerous it is, but still they wanted to show how much they care for Black lives and what this means to them. And yeah, what racism not only in the US means, but also beyond the US, like in Europe, in Germany, in Austria, like especially in Austria, I think.
Yeah,
it was really interesting to see, also being an American, being here in Europe, to see the Black Lives Matter movement spread in Europe and to see demonstrations in Vienna. It was honestly really moving for me.
Which kind of reminds me of the terrorist attack that happened in Vienna. Because we asked our listeners to describe 2020 in one word, actually, and many of them use some kind of word connected indeed to this particular event. And maybe the reason is not that it was so impactful worldwide, but because it was local and people felt it much stronger. So,
right. Yeah, that happened. It was crazy. I remember it to be the Monday when the lockdown was supposed to start on Tuesday. And yeah, that was wild. And then,
we will return to your scheduled programming shortly, or we are currently experiencing technical difficulties.
So, what else about 2020? It's, you know, also, I thought about it, so many different media channels and platforms and TV shows made some kind of recap of 2020. And
yeah.
Also, Google, they do that every year based on the search results. And I got so curious, I actually started watching some old ones, like from 2011 and 2016. And I barely remember that those things happened. It's like it's been in another life. And this year, 2020, it was so powerful. Like all of the videos I watched, maybe because all the disasters, if we can call them like that, that happened somehow united people. And it's not like something that happened in China and something that happened in the Middle East and something that happened in the States and in Europe. Everything was much more global than before. And I think we haven't really experienced something like that in the recent years. So,
yeah, I agree. That is true. Like, it's a global phenomenon, not only the COVID thing, but also Black Lives Matter protests. Yep. They were also global. Like, and therefore, I agree with you. That's a good point.
And I really badly wanted us to introduce another side of the events that happened in 2020 and not just repeat, you know, what everybody else does. But at the end of the day, this is what happened in 2020. And this is the stuff we have heard about and we all were somehow connected to. So I think we cannot just ignore them or neglect them.
That is right.
But yeah, something randomly that comes on my mind now is the elections in Belarus. That's not such a popular thing that happened, but I remember that they had 2,000 violations found by the election observers in August. Like 2,000 things that were done wrong. And just a few months later, we had the US elections that became also such a global phenomenon and everybody was keeping track on how things are developing. And we have an episode of that.
Two episodes.
Yes, guys. Way to push our brand. I love it. 2020 was a really interesting year. And it's hard to, I think that one of the shittiest part about COVID is that it really makes it difficult to reflect upon anything else or what else is going on in the world. And I think when something does come, like this is just a hot take right now, but when something does come and we remember it and we're talking about it and it's like takes precedence. So whether it be the elections in Belarus or the elections in the US or anything like that. and it came above to go beyond the COVID crisis and break through kind of that straitjacket, then it's pretty significant. So I think some significant things actually did happen in 2020 besides this stupid virus. And I just really hope that moving forward, we don't forget all those things and just only look at this virus.
Yeah, I think that is important to say, because if I look back now, there has happened a lot of stuff, and concerning with COVID still, but a little bit disconnected from that, is the backlash of nationalism that happened throughout the whole globe. Like, I have the feeling that despite there were some, for instance, in Europe, some approaches towards handling this thing together or doing it together, nation states actually decided to go on their own. And yep. I don't know. Of course, they had their reasons. They had definitely had their reasons. But I feel this is a backlash into what Europe, and we live in all in Europe, like what it hasn't been anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Makes me nervous, so to say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a super good point. I really noticed that, especially in the beginning. But I think there was so much hope in the beginning for a united European approach before things got bad. There's an English saying, when shit hits the fan. And I think what happened is when shit hit the fan, it came raining back down. And everybody kind of went into their own corner. And I don't know if that says something stronger about nation states or says something about the weakness of European institutions or frameworks. I don't know which it is. Maybe it's my instinct would tell me it's a little bit of both.
I see.
Talking about European institutions, what about Brexit?
Oh my goodness.
Do that in the 2020 recap?
Plead the stupid American card.
You don't know about it, Harry. I see.
I don't know about it. I play the stupid American card, but you guys are informed European citizens. And sure. I have to say that Brexit is on the news here, what seems like every day. And this really seems like a slow death. Like, I feel like I'm Jesus on the cross and it's like the 30th day and I'm just ready to go, man. Like, I'm really ready to go. So what is happening with this Brexit? Why is it taking so long? Where are we at? What's the issues? I heard that there was a big traffic jam the other day going from France to England on the Channel.
Yeah, does that anybody is true. Know about that? Yeah. I also saw it in the news. Actually, it was also connected to the coronavirus, COVID-19, because there was a mutation in Britain, so a mutation of the coronavirus, and so France decided to shut the borders. And yeah, many observers actually discussed this and said, okay, whoa, they are fucked now. Not only the Brexit, but also the mutation now. Borders closed, like food supply will be difficult and stuff like that. But they decided to reopen the borders now. And yeah, with Brexit, I don't know, dude. It's so difficult. It's really difficult. I can only say from what I know that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. They have a contract now, which is a couple of thousand pages. And Boris Johnson, the premier of Britain, actually, that was funny. He said people should read it as a Christmas present. Like, they should love it. I don't know why he said that, but... it's supposed to be the contract that provides future possibilities of good and people's exchange between the Great Britain and the European Union. Yeah, so that's what I know. I don't know. Yeah. Robbie, have you any other input on that?
Yeah, you're awfully silent, Robbie. Tell me what you know.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because... we can make a whole list of events that happened now in 2020, but we are actually going to see the results and consequences of those choices in a few years. And it's not only about Brexit, it's also about the COVID vaccine and a bunch of other stuff we chose this year, the US president and so on and so on. So we can just really make a list, but not objectively give a perspective whether they were good or bad and how they affected our lives and how we're going to shape our future around them. And I don't know. That's my input. So, and talking about now all the countries, mostly in Europe, who banned all kinds of flights from UK, makes me think how much the COVID pandemic and the fact that we were not able to fly and travel as smoothly as before for a few months, how it changed our everything. Like, we became in one way prisoners of Zoom. Because I don't know, I have interacted more with people on Zoom for the past 1 year than in person.
That is true, yeah.
And I don't know. It just, it's very different. And I think in a few years, we would be more careful whenever we are offering some kind of product on the market that it could be applicable and adaptable to situations such as the lockdown. So mass digitalization and maybe less traveling. Keine Ahnung.
Keine Ahnung. I know what you're going to do, Robbie. You're going to write a book about prisoners of Zoom. That's the title. I like it.
You know, in STS, we often talk about inherently good or inherently bad technology. So is Zoom a bad one when I call it that it imprisoned us in a way? Actually, we imprisoned ourselves. It's not Zoom.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not the Zoom's fault, also, is it? It's not the Zoom's
fault. No, it's not. On the other hand, it made it possible for so many people, including us, to work and to go to university and
yes,
to school
exactly.
and not miss on anything.
Yeah, that was my point. All I was going to say was, okay, Robbie, imagine you got to do university work, you got to finish the semester, but you cannot use Zoom, you can't use Skype, you can't use anything. How would we have finished the semester? And you can't go to class in person. What do? Do you write a bunch of essays and mail them or email them to the professor and then you just go back and forth over email? You know, or imagine it without technology. Like, we always, STS, we're so critical of technology all the time, which is great. Yeah, we have to be critical about it. But just imagine if this was 1975, 1985, or even 1995, and we have to do this thing. And I think that for me, I don't know. I think it's interesting. It might not be an interesting question, but it really tells us something about how technology does have a potential for good things, right? There's so many concerns with Zoom and privacy and all that stuff, but I think it should be pretty obvious, at least to me, that there's some amazing possibilities that this stuff offers us.
That is true. I even think that some classes in university actually were better online than they were offline, which is crazy. I hated it beforehand, but now I think that some were even better. And so I totally agree with you on this point.
Maybe we actually needed some change, though.
Yeah.
I think I see 2020 as a kick for a new technological revolution in a way. And we've experienced so many new things that we didn't really experience before. So I only see positives. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I know a lot of people. Yes, I know so many people got sick and so many people lost other people that they loved and couldn't visit their friends and family for months. And there is a huge negative notation. I don't know if you can say it like that, but on the other hand, it really made most of the people appreciate what we have. And I think the mindset of people, how they're going to enter in 2021, is going to be much more positive than it was when they entered 2020. Because you kind of expect that the next year is going to be better, simply because it should be like that. But now you realize that you need to work for it to make it better, even if there are factors that are not depending on you and factors that you're not in control of. So I think we're going to be more conscious about a lot of stuff from now on.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. Yeah, no, it's, I think it really, this year, if anything, it really helped pull us back from that trap of the progressivist trends tradition, which is like thinking, you know, that history is on this kind of upward scale and it's a gradual improvement. Every year gets better, and that's just the natural order of things. And that's just completely false, right? Like it is relative what gets better, what gets worse, but you could get enough people and take their opinion and just say, hey, man, this year compared to last year was far worse. And you can really measure that. But I think the points that there are good things to recognize.
Yeah, I think I really like this optimistic perspective on the future, on 2021, and also on this year. I really like it because I don't know if it's true. I don't know if people will. I really don't know if people will actually, think harder what they need to do in their lives, what they need to achieve. I really don't. No, and I also pretty much don't think that people will really reflect on what they need and what they need to buy, for instance, what they need to have, what they need to do in their lives. I don't know. I'm rather skeptical about that. But Robbie, I really appreciate you being that optimistic. Thanks.
Yeah, speaking of people perhaps not making the improvements, another push for our show. If you check out our last episode on consumerism, Costa, you just got my mind with people, if they're buying what they need and maybe changing some habits and reflecting with this whole COVID situation. But man, I went Christmas shopping after we recorded this episode. Just crazy. So objectively, there was no change. In fact, I think, to be honest, it got like a little bit worse. But maybe that's just because effect of me being trapped in the house. But it was madness out there. It was like a war. You would not know if masks weren't required. Being in Austria, I don't think you would know that the virus was going on or not. Right? The only way that you knew there was some type of corona thing was if the masks everywhere around you, it was insane.
But now we're in a lockdown again, all right? That's how it is.
I'm here at the ski resorts and everything, so you can't really see much lockdown. I mean, the cool thing is there's nobody there, so it's really awesome, especially for me who cannot ski worth a shit. So like I can just fall and there's no issue, and the kids pass me and I just stand there like an idiot, but it's pretty cool. But again, the only way that I could tell, because I don't know how many people are there usually, is the masks. Everywhere you got to wear the masks. And I think maybe that's the thing we remember when 2020 is over, is just this idea of the mask, right? That's just the new normal. I mean, and if we think about technology, there's even companies adjusting their technology, like Apple doesn't have face scanners in some of their new technology. So they actually reverted back to Touch ID, which is like your fingerprint using, because they realized that, hey, the face ID doesn't work in public if people got to pull their mask on to get into their laptop or phone with face ID. So they actually went backwards in technology to use a Touch ID because it just didn't work. So there, maybe 2020 just becomes the year of the mask. Like, I think that might be what we remember when we're old and gray is, remember, we had, hey kids, we had to wear a mask everywhere we went and everything we did.
Maybe it's gonna be the year of the mask, or maybe it's gonna be the year of the lessons, because all those stuff that you mentioned is kind of in industries and people adapting to particular stuff and trying to make something good out of the bad stuff that are happening. And I don't know, maybe I have way too optimistic overview on this whole thing. And the truth is that I was not impacted in a way as many other people are, mm-hmm. who have their own companies or carry the responsibility of feeding their families. I'm a student. I do work. Of course, I go to university, but I didn't lose my savings. And luckily, my family is safe and healthy, so maybe I'm not very objective on that, but I don't know. I think 2020 showed people, like, it made us much more active as citizens and much more focused on human rights. And I think it kind of put the era of this consumerist society we talked about in our last episode. This materialistic thing is going to change a bit in the next year simply because of 2020.
Thanks to 2020. not only hate for 2020.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm still a little skeptical about how people will change their consumerism. You know, like within our science technology program here in the University of Vienna, there's been a lot of talk of like, what does going back to normal even mean? Or what does it take? And what does it mean when we get there, right? Like, how are we even going to know when we're back to normal after all this, right? All this experience and everything that we've went through. And I've always had this opinion throughout this whole thing that people, for the most part, like the average person, not a university student that wants things to change, but after this are desperate to go back to the normal that they had before. And I know that's a very cynical opinion about society in general, but that's just mine. I think people realize, you know, like things might have been bad, but this is even worse at the moment. And I think a lot of people are pretty eager to go back to normal and to put up with what normal was for them. So, but then there's also some out there opinions that this is a tipping point, which is more like Ravi's optimism. And I hope that it is a tipping point, because if it is, then I'll be super happy about it.
Robbie, I really wish you put your vision forward and everyone acknowledges that it's true.
Yes, sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up for this.
Yeah, sign me up as well.
Yeah. But don't you think that something good is going to come out of this whole thing? Because in 1 year, we basically experienced almost everything bad we can think of. Natural disasters, lots of terrorist attacks, pandemics, technological innovations or whatever else that people might not like. The stock market that went down and the whole economy just hit the fan, as Harry said.
Yeah.
So the refugee crisis and all of those stuff, the racism and the social inequalities, all of those stuff we experienced in 1 year, and we were able to see what we created as a society. And now we can change something from the next year if we want to. So I think 2020 was a great reminder of all the shit we have done so far.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I think we are at the tipping point, but the question is if people are going to tip the whole ship over, or if they're going to run back to the base and not try to push the rock over the hill. I hope that they tip the rock. But also to have a clear indication of where that rock is going to be when it hits the other side of the hill, right? Because it's not just tipping the rock over, but it's also knowing what you want to do with the next thing. And I think that you're completely correct. I think there's so much more awareness of what's going on in the world, like race relations in the United States and in Europe. Like the fact that the Black Lives Matter became a global movement was just really moving for me in general, just because you had, you know, like it seems to be like an American issue, but I saw signs everywhere in Vienna saying like, you know, this is not just an American issue. Like these events that we're protesting against happened in America, but this stuff happens here too. And, you know, like we should show solidarity there and not just point fingers and say like, look how bad it is in America. Look at all this stuff that's going on there. But that this is not just an issue, a national issue. This is a humanitarian issue. And humanitarian issues, I think that's something to be very aware of, is that there's no such thing as a national humanitarian issue. A humanitarian issue should be a global issue, right? Because it needs to be tackled with global issues and have the world turn its attention on it rather than just pointing fingers and saying, look how bad it is there. I think that there needs to be attention from everybody to look inwards as well, but also to gather resources and support and bring awareness everywhere that you are.
Very, very nice words, Harry.
Yeah.
Very true words.
I have one fun fact for you, though, to bring you back to reality. If that's
bring me back to my old man and chasing kids off the lawn with a cane. Yeah, do it. Go ahead.
No, I really like your inspiring talk and also what Robbie said earlier. And I really hope that people will see and make some changes to the world. But for instance, a United Nations progress report published in December 2020 indicated that none of the international sustainable development goals for 2020 were actually achieved. None. You see that? None.
Yeah. Would you argue that, I'm not exactly sure about the numbers, but because the coronavirus lockdown caused like almost 20% drop in global carbon emissions?
Yes, I think that's like, roundabout that true. Yeah, that is positive. Definitely, that is positive. And I'm not saying that the hope should be destroyed or something. I just want to play the devil here a little bit.
Devil's advocate. Devil, you are almost the devil.
Yeah, sorry. but I do think that people, whatever this back to normal actually means and whatever discussions around that might evolve, that people, that after some crisis, people will fly again, people will produce goods, mm-hmm. people will consume goods, it will go on and on. And I expect this to be ever more again after a long period of breakdown, after a long period of lockdowns. I expect it to be a lot more than before, actually. Yeah. But we will see. We cannot know. We cannot know.
Exactly. We really cannot know. And I think that's something that you that it's natural in a new year, right? Like you just don't know. And I think it's cool to be, you know, I'm just an old grumpy man, and I think Costa shares a little bit of that with me too. That we are just always trying. We're always a little negative. Yeah, always a little negative. But that's the beauty of a new year, is you get to look forward and you have like a new year's resolution to leave something behind in the past year and go to this new year. And yeah, woo-hoo. If you looked at every new year as like, well, it can only get worse, that would also be awful thing to do and an awful opinion to have. Like, man, that's a miserable life I don't want. But I do think I have a question for you guys that's a more philosophical one. Do you think that the worse that a year was before, the more optimistic you are for the next year? Like, because 2020 was so bad that we're super optimistic for 2021? Or do you think it's like just individual basis for everybody?
Honestly, I don't think it's black or white, because it really it's just impossible to say yes or no, because it really depends on your social status, your health condition and everything. So maybe you experienced something that kind of shifted your perspective entirely. You became more optimistic, or vice versa. You became actually much more afraid of all the stuff that could happen to you. Mm-hmm. So I would go for the answer, it is more individual. But if I have to generalize it, I would say that people, after something bad happens or after they had a very bad year, they tend to be more like optimistic mm-hmm. and more down to earth the year after. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a bit logical to me, but maybe that's not the case.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree with you, Robbie. I think people will be more optimistic about next year, definitely, and about the future in general, like also the next 5 years. They will be really optimistic that such a thing like 2020 won't happen again, I think. But it could. But it could. And I think 2020, at least the first half of 2020, will be roughly the same as 2021.
Yeah.
Will be roughly the same as 2020.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of pandemic and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like,
but Harry, you know, your philosophical question actually is something that I'm pretty sure social scientists have tried or want to examine and research in depth, indeed, how people react to circumstances like that and how that changes their mindset, their lifestyle, their choices, their behavior, if you want. So
Yeah.
Maybe here is the moment where we can include the STS twist on the topic of 2020's recap.
Already, I was just getting in my old man thing ready to vent. I like this idea about like the individual thing. You know, people also look forward to the new year differently, but also 2020 was different because 2020 was different to people as well. Like, and we can talk about the inequalities revealed. I think before we get into the STS twist, I kind of want to do the wrong thing and maybe the right thing and bring us back to COVID. I don't know. I think that something for me that's been very interesting in the whole thing, and I like that Robbie kind of brought this response to the table of, well, it depends how you look at 2021, and it's a very individual feeling. And I think that's very true about COVID. I've heard numerous people say that there were many different versions of the virus, not of the strains, but about how it affected people, right? People, when people have the virus or are affected by the virus, they have a completely different virus because they have a completely different set of circumstances. So when the virus started, there were so many calls around the world about, hey, this is something that makes us all the same. And this is something that unites us and brings us all together because it affects everybody, right? China is Europe. Europe is America. And we've seen that all crumble before our eyes. And it's totally not true because I think this virus has really revealed inequalities and even eviscerated new ones. Like it's just completely, it's really almost put a knife in a wound in some way, a salt in a wound, and revealed just how grotesque some of the inequality is around the world and how different people get different versions of things when things happen, whether it be COVID-19 or a financial crisis or access to blah, blah, blah. I don't know. That's just my thing. And maybe we could talk a little bit about COVID and maybe that helps bring us into this STS twist of a reflection about 2020 dominated by COVID-19. What do you guys think?
Sounds good. No, I really like I really like your take on social inequalities because I also feel like COVID is experienced by different people differently. Like people with lower incomes, for instance, get infected way more often than people with higher incomes, which is amazing when you refer to what Harry just said, that in the beginning of the pandemic, we thought that, everyone is hit by the pandemic and in the same way, which is just not true. It's, it's strange, but it is how the world works today, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think nowadays, not only nowadays, but the society we live in, it has never been possible that we all have equal start in life. Yeah. So that's why nothing really hits us equally.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is a tale as old as time, that different things, people are not equal. And it's based on their circumstances, not who they are or what they are, but based on what they come into with the world, we've come a long way. We also discussed when we were preparing for this episode that, I mean, Brexit is a clear example because now we're in the fourth year of Brexit. So it's a very long Brexit. This idea of the slow disaster, and maybe this is one STS concept that we can like kind of throw in to give us this STS twist and start closing out this episode. Would you guys call COVID-19 a slow disaster or is it just a rapid disaster?
Pooh, difficult. I think that's a difficult question because, like, individually, if you get infected as an individual, it's pretty rapid. Like, after 10 days or 14 days, you get immediately negative effects. But, like, in general,
like, as a global thing,
if you look at it as a global thing, exactly, then I would say it might be a slow disaster because it takes a while to spread. It takes a while to spread across the globe. And so also, not only the becoming of the disaster is slow, but also the resolving, as we can see now with the vaccine, like we cannot stop it immediately. It takes a while till like a certain amount of population is vaccinated and stuff like that. So I would say, yes, it is a slow disaster in most of the cases.
I agree. What about racism? It's also a very, very slow disaster.
Would you want to go back a couple thousand years?
You see how slow it is?
It's really slow.
Or it's really fast if you just, you know, think about the dinosaurs being racist or not racist. Then it's really fast. It's like, wow, that happened quick. But no, I don't know about racism being a slow disaster. I don't know. That one's really difficult for me, the racism being a disaster. Maybe it's just my opinion, like from where I come from in the U.S., it's kind of an ever-present thing, you know, like slavery being part of our national history that you got to deal with all the time, right? I don't know. It's very difficult to think about that one.
Yeah, and isn't also like in the terms of an STS, a science, technology, and society, isn't a slow disaster like one of the fast disasters more of a socio-technical stuff?
Yeah,
is that right?
Maybe for that reason, because it's just difficult. I think there could be Robbie, to your defense, I think there could be an argument that maybe not racism, but the kind of a crisis, you know, between, like, not a crisis. I've been in Europe so long that I'm throwing around the word crisis like this and that. I don't know about if you would call it a crisis, but just race relations and protests. And yeah, maybe it is a fucking crisis. It is a crisis in America. Oh, that's a crisis. Disaster. Yeah, screw it. Fuck, it's a crisis. Maybe that's slow.
Yeah, maybe I was just looking at it from a different angle. I was trying to relate to the top events that happened in 2020 and categorize them as slow disasters or quick disasters. So except the Australian bushfire, I literally would mm-hmm. categorize almost everything else yeah. as a slow disaster, because even when some military people got poisoned and some terrorist attacks happened, I think they're simply the result of ongoing political or other processes that are part of the slow disaster mm-hmm. and unresolved issues or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's not the right way to look at it. You're right, Costa, that it's more a socio-technical thing mm-hmm. when we talk mm-hmm. about disasters, not social only.
But I think like the term slow disaster definitely hits the Brexit. I mean, if not the Brexit, what should it hit? It could be invented for the Brexit.
Yeah. But maybe Boris Johnson would say it's like a slow euphoria, since it's what they got for Christmas, right? But
that's not right. A disaster.
Yeah, right. I think everything. Maybe that says a lot about 2020. Maybe that just sums up the year. We were wearing masks and everything happened slow. And I think that the lessons, I think Robbie also said this, you know, it's not super STS-y, but we learned a lot of lessons this year. And I think maybe one of the biggest lessons that people learned is like the collective lesson of patience, right? We've been so trapped with our technologies and everything and expecting that year after year will get better and better and things get faster and faster. And this year, a lot of people have had to have patience for certain things. You know, everything has taken longer. If you send a letter, it takes longer to get there. If you have to go for a walk, you got to put a mask on. You got to go inside. You got to put the mask on to go into the market. If you're going to take a plane ride, you got to do some registration beforehand, right? Everything takes longer right now. And I think the idea of patience has been kind of a collective lesson to pump the brakes on things sometimes. So I think just maybe a responsibility thing and thinking about our place, just a little bit more awareness of things, I think is a 2020 lesson.
Wow. That's true. And all those social stuff you mentioned, they kind of remind me of another STS thing. It's the social construction of technology, or SCOT, which is exactly how the social needs impact what kind of innovation in technology would happen in the future and how technology would be adapted to those social issues, like things not being delivered on time or whatever else.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Costa, you wanted to say something. Sorry for interrupting again.
No worries at all. Like, I think the SCOT, the social construction of technology, is pretty interesting, actually. Like, we have learned this in our first semester of the master's program. And I like it that you bring it up again here, because actually, it kind of fits. It fits like the innovation of technologies to adapt this to COVID and to really put forward some stuff, the vaccine, certain technologies, stuff like that. It really fits. So I like it. I just wanted to say that on Harry's beautiful talk, I would have ended the episode because it was such such a good talk.
Thanks, man. But I do like the Scott. I'm a nerd. I like to keep talking. I think the Scott is interesting. It's just say it's, you know, the iPhone that cannot scan. You cannot scan a face with a mask on it, right? Like, so just being aware when you program your technology that it's got to be right and constructed with the social conditions around you. Interesting stuff.
One last and very random thing that comes on my mind is standardization, though. Because we spoke briefly about it a while ago, how the calendar is standardized and this time frame 2020 is decided and used by so many people and all over the world. But we have the Chinese calendar, we have the Persian New Year's Eve, which is in March. So different cultures look at the new year and the concept of 2020 probably in a very different way. And despite all the disasters that happened, probably also the cultural traditions that are implemented in the different countries and different regions would look at them and kind of learn something different out of everything that happened. Be it the Holy Spirits wanted to punish us for the deeds we have done and that are not good for other people, or maybe more Western perspective about pandemic and that's it, and I don't know. Once again, keine Ahnung.
Keine Ahnung.
Standardization is really a big thing in STS because we don't even realize how everything we use in our lives is standardized in some form, so it could be understandable and applicable also everywhere else.
Yeah, and I have two really nice examples of what you just said about standardization. So for now, there is the standardization of being tested and being not tested, or being tested positively and being tested negatively. And with the vaccine, it will get even worse. People will be vaccinated and people will not be being vaccinated. And those two kind of persons will be divided into groups. Like, I think also politically this makes a lot of difference. I think, like, we don't want this to happen, but I think politicians really and governments will really divide people into them who are vaccinated and them who are not, and according to that provide them with possibilities and stuff.
That's so true.
I really agree. I mean, you're already seeing that there's rumors about you that you will need to be some airlines and to fly also to some countries. You will need to be have the immunization to travel. So you have to be vaccinated in order to travel, which is kind of unheard of in a way. But then you also, if you think deeper about it, I know in the US and a lot of European countries as well, you need certain vaccinations to be able to enroll in school. So this isn't a completely new thing, right? That the idea that you need to, there is some kind of standardization going on that, hey, everybody has to have this vaccination, you know, to pass this like kind of passage point to where you're an acceptable human being to be able to go to school with the rest of us because you're immune to these diseases. And for air travel and everything, we're kind of putting COVID behind us in a way, for air travelers at least, because you have this vaccination. So it's not, it seems ridiculous when you first see it, like, hey, I need to be vaccinated to do something. Otherwise, I'm not allowed to do it. I'm forbidden. But we already do that, right? We just do it with different diseases.
Fair point. I wanna say again a cheers to Robbie and Harry, who have been with us. Like, we have already been talking an hour or something. So let's make a toast to like 2020, hey, the science slot machine, and whatever may come in the next years.
Guys, toast to 2020, and really bigger toast to 2021, guys. Cheers.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cling, cling.
Toast. Cheers.
And thanks to all our listeners who have been listening to our episodes. We're looking really much forward to the next year and what may come. And we hope that you stay with us.
Yep. Really hope it, guys. Honestly, this podcast has been one of the highlights of my year. And I'm happy that you two have stayed on to do it. We've been through quite the little trip together. And I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Exactly. And once again, I also want to say thank you to all our listeners, because we recently hit the 1,000 plays of our episodes, which for us is really, really special moment. So thank you. And we deeply and truly wish you to be very healthy and happy in the upcoming year, and to share as many special moments with your beloved ones. And yeah. Continue listening to the Science Slot Machine.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye, and Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.